love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want more of these characteristics in their lives? Join us for this 9-week series exploring the fruit of the Spirit as we take a look into the book of Galatians and explore how God's word teaches us to grow deeper in each of these virtues and why we should.
My name is Pastor Marcia, and I am honored, privileged to worship with you, to be a brother, a sister, with all of my brothers and sisters in Christ together. I do like that music, but just for this weekend, I asked the tech folks if they could play another of my favorite tunes. Right? It's Kindness Weekend. We're in a series of messages about fruits of the Spirit. And if anybody has come to epitomize and advocate for kindness in our culture, it's this guy. Am I right? That's right, Mr. Rogers. You know him as Mr. Rogers, but did you know he was also Reverend Rogers? He was an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he did not like the lack of kindness, the meanness that he saw cropping up in the children's programming. And so he developed what we now know as this famously kind and nurturing show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was 50 years ago, believe it or not, if that makes anybody else in the room feel older than you did a second ago. Well, often when there's a natural disaster or some sort of news, as we've had this past week with Hurricane Michael and before that Hurricane Florence, when there's stuff like that going on in the world that affects a lot of people, I've noticed this quotation of Mr. Rogers that comes back around, and it goes like this. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Well, I think that's very good advice, both for adults and for children, to look for the helpers and, whenever possible, to be a helper. And as I said, we have seen some scary things in the news lately. I've seen some scary things in my news feed lately, you know what I mean, on the Facebook news feed. And this is a friend of mine says, this is me after 3 minutes on Facebook. Like, yikes, why is everybody yelling at each other? But can't we all just get along, right? Kindness. Yes, I asked them to show that from my friend Daniel Bennett, but then to just flip right back to kindness, because we don't want to think about how awful people are being to each other in that digital place of conversation. I think of Instagram. That screenshot came from Instagram, which I think of as the kindler, gentler form of social media. If you are not on Instagram, it's kind of a slideshow of highlights of everybody's lives, only blessedly brief, because it's impolite to post on Instagram more than a couple times a day, max, unless you have a really good reason. So as I said, of the 9 fruits of the Spirit we are examining in this message series, today we're at the midpoint, we're examining kindness, and it seems to me at this juncture in our cultural conversation, we could all stand to pause and ponder the importance of kindness. Kindness is always in order, probably because its opposite, cruelty, is always present and always so seemingly... We're also seemingly vulnerable to it, to meanness and cruelty, either as a victim or as a perpetrator. We're all capable of doing and saying mean things to others. So in your booklets, which Pastor Vern mentioned, I hope you all brought them back. If not, I hope you got the sheets to fill in today. If not, just pay attention. We don't always have to have something in front of us. We can just listen. That's good. I try to tell my kids that with their screens, you know. It's okay. You can just sit and listen and observe nature. But you in your booklets, I think it's on page 15 we're starting today for kindness, is that right? And at the top of that page, I share a quotation there that you've probably seen around. It's one of another one of those that, like Mr. Rogers' quotation keeps popping up, this one keeps popping up too. And it's, practice random kindness and senseless acts of beauty. Now, a lady by the name of Anne Herbert, who went on to become an author about kindness, she was sitting in a diner in Northern California when she was distraught about the news that she was experiencing, and that was 1982, over three decades ago. And she was hearing the phrases, let me see if I can find it, random violence and senseless acts of cruelty. Those were the phrases that she heard in the news. And so she was playing around with those phrases and trying to make something better of them. And as somebody who also likes to play with words and who loves to see God's redemptive work in the world turning wrong things and making them right, I say amen to Anne Herbert's rephrasing of those terms. But I would add this, and this is the first set of blanks in your books. There's nothing random about it. Kindness is always beautiful and never senseless. Now, I'm preparing to share the message today. I ran into the same conundrum that I had a few weeks ago when I shared about joy. And that is, when I shared about joy, I found I couldn't adequately talk about it without talking about its opposite, which is sorrow or despair. And so it is with kindness. You see, the reason that it's so important to nurture this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to allow God to cultivate kindness in our lives, is that we've too often tasted the bitterness and rottenness of its opposite, haven't we? So the main point for today is that the power of kindness surpasses cruelty, ambivalence, or any of our less noble instincts. Well, I've already established our sort of collective bias about kindness, haven't I? I've talked about Mr. Rogers and the children's program and, you know, that quaint diner where the author was sitting doodling and reflecting on kindness. We think of kindness as soft, fluffy, nice. And there's nothing wrong with nice, but just like we've learned from Scripture that joy is deeper and more enduring than happiness, kindness is stronger and more substantive than niceness. In fact, kindness is powerful. Are you surprised to hear me say that? Have you heard the phrase, kill 'em with kindness? Kindness is strong stuff. It requires a depth of inspiration, a depth of character beyond what naturally comes to our behavioral instincts. That's why children have to be corrected and taught that it's not okay to pick on kids who look or act differently than they do. That's why adults have to be taught and corrected that it's not okay to pick on people who look or act differently than we do, right? Kindness has to become part of us in a supernatural way as a fruit of the Spirit dwelling inside us and transforming our natural inclinations so that over time, like the fruit that grows on the trees and on the bushes, it's over time, by God's grace, we become more beautifully and brightly reflections of the character of Jesus Christ. So that phrase, kill him with kindness, could also read, save him with kindness, or even save yourself with kindness. Because kindness takes our enemies by surprise. They don't expect a gentle answer, or a gracious response, or an offer of forgiveness, or help in return for their wrongdoing. Strangers don't expect kindness from us either. What did they do to deserve a kind gesture? Kindness, when it occurs to us to extend it, and the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the courage to do so, it sometimes can take us by surprise, especially in those situations where we've been triggered and our past, our history, our characteristic response before we knew Jesus and before Jesus had brought us to a place of development where we can be kind, it really surprises us when we can extend that kindness instead of a harsh word or a harsh action or seeking revenge. You see, God is working on us. That's the exciting thing. He's working and it's working. And it's so exciting when we see that sweet fruit of kindness. It's ripe and it's ready for harvest from within the garden of our souls to offer it to others, even those whose words or actions arguably warrant a different kind of response. Kindness not only packs a powerful punch of amazing grace, if I could mix the metaphors there. Kindness is gentle, that's not punchy, but when it's grace, it is powerful. It also comes with the promise of blessing in return from God himself. Let's look at the scriptures. Proverbs 25, 21, and 22 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Now, this is kind of a trick passage, right? I remember reading this when I was a child and thinking, yeah, heap burning coals on his head. Like, you know, that'll get him. As if that was something unkind to do, but the Bible said it was okay. But instead, in ancient culture, heaping coals on a person's head are actually a sign of penitence, of regret, that would show the people that they wanted forgiveness. And so this idea of heaping burning coals on someone's head, if we return an unkindness with a kindness, it's going to make them reconsider their response. It's going to make them reconsider what kind of person they are. And you might not only make a friend out of an enemy, you might make a new friend of God. Isn't that our goal as Christians, to help others and to lead others into relationship with Christ? And if we're acting just like they are, and in the predictable way, we're turning unkindness with unkindness, what difference would they see in our lives? And how might they ask how we're different and why? Well, I know I'm pretty far down the trail here, but I feel the need to offer a definition of kindness rather than simply saying what it's not. I've kind of established that it's not cruelty, it's not violence, it's not vengefulness, it's not meanness. But kindness is not just niceness on steroids either. Google calls kindness the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. I think that's so lightweight. You know, some of you know I was in a previous part of my career, I was an editor. So I am going to editorialize here and present a different definition of kindness that I think is stronger and truer. Kindness is both the inclination and the action of offering someone else, another human being, a glimmer of hope and help self-sacrificially. I think that's a key, self-sacrificially. Kindness always requires us to set aside thoughts of our own comfort, our own preference, our own preoccupation with whatever our goals and to-dos are on any given day or any given moment. We have to set those aside, even for the smallest kindnesses, to make eye contact with another person. We have to see the person in front of us, instead of, anybody else have that problem in their heads all day, every day, just so much stuff going on. And I have to see other people, make eye contact, smile at somebody. That requires a little bit of sacrifice on our part to offer them a moment of our day, a moment of our attention, a moment of encouragement. That's kind. To open a door for someone, to pour that first cup of coffee for someone, even if you made the coffee first and they weren't even awake yet, and you really want your coffee, but here he comes down the stairs. Oh, I'm getting autobiographical there. But pour the cup of coffee for someone else. That's kind. Let somebody go first in front of you in traffic. You get the idea. These are examples of kindness And they're small, but they're mighty. So I want us to look at where kindness begins, where it comes from, and how we can become kinder people, purveyors of kindness. One of the quotations that I saw in preparing for today was, "Kind people are my kind of people." And I think we all want to be kind people. Kindness begins with perception. As I've already said, you have to notice the need or the opportunity. You have to notice the person in front of you, but also notice in a greater sense, in when you're looking to extend greater kindnesses, notice the need in their life. Notice what's going on and think about how you can help. It really is the thought that counts. At first, every good and perfect thing and every evil thing that leads to sin and death. I keep coming back to opposites, but as I thought about this, I looked in James, and he describes it this way: each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. This passage reminds me of what my mother used to say when we would come home from school and somebody had been mean to us or somebody was really getting on our nerves, and she would say, "That just shows you how not to be." Right? It's good advice. You're upset about the way someone is acting. Well, you can turn that around and look at that's a good example of how not to behave toward someone else. James, just three verses after this passage, gives us the ultimate example of how the thought that counts can result not in sin and death, but in goodness and life. In James 1:18, he says, "God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." We were God's good idea, his best idea, the first fruits of all he created. And when we choose to live by his word and let his power take hold of us and transform us, we grow into the reality of God's vision for how humans ought to be. If the cruel kids on the playground showed us how not to be, Jesus shows us how to be. And then, that doesn't just show us, but gives us the source of power by filling us with the Holy Spirit. He makes it possible. Jesus is the source of every good thing about us. I've said that kindness begins with perception. We have to notice that someone is in need of our help or attention in big and small ways, and it also comes from compassion. We have to want to help, but why should we want to help? On what basis? Well, I hazard to guess that everybody in this room has been the recipient of kindness from God and from God's people, and sometimes from strangers. And we don't know their spiritual status, but we know that that goodness is a reflection of God's kindness. Just this week, I decided, you know, I'm sharing about kindness this weekend. I'm going to, leading up to it, last few days, I'm going to notice some of the kindnesses that people extend to me. Here's my list. The delicious grape pie that someone brought to the church office to bless the staff. It was delicious. Did I mention that? That was a kindness extended to us. The entire meal. I promise you, not everything is about food here, but the entire meal that someone made for my family on a busy weeknight when we otherwise probably would have ended up all eating Raisin Bran or something. The text message I received late Wednesday morning when I really needed it. I needed a word of encouragement. God knew it. God nudged a sister in Christ. She sent me a message, said she was praying for me. And it was just, the timing was perfect. It was a kindness by her, and I know by the Holy Spirit himself. There was a gentleman who was not able to convey his kindness to me in the English language, but who gestured for me to go ahead of him at the grocery line because I had just a few things in my hands and he had a cart full. That was a kindness. The truth is, I lost track of all the kindnesses that were extended to me this week, and there were probably a whole bunch I didn't even notice. You see, our kindness can improve someone else's quality of life, but it almost certainly will improve yours. You know what I mean by that? When we step outside of ourselves and our natural inclination, the old nature that says, all about you, make sure you look out for number one, do what you have to do and don't worry about anybody else, we step outside of that and allow God's Spirit and His generosity to make us kind, we feel so much better, don't we? We see, our eyes are open. It's almost like we just have to take that small step outside of ourselves for the scales to fall off our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see that we are all part of God's work together in the world. That's the goal. When we've been through something, and we've experienced God's kindness, either from God Himself, we've had fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we've just felt that through a time of prayer or worship or whatever, or we've received kindness through one of God's people. We know what it's like, and it inspires us to share kindness with others. Paul put it this way when he offers this praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Isn't it true that if you've been through something, you're more equipped to help somebody else going through that thing? And when you're going through it yourself, don't you kind of prefer to hear from somebody who has also experienced that and who has seen through to the other side, can offer comfort in a way that others can't quite do it? So kindness begins with perception. It comes from compassion. But it's a choice to act a certain way based on the kind of person we choose to be. And here, these last three words are so key to the message today: with God's help. We can't do any of this without God's help. The fruit of the Spirit throughout the fall that we're considering has to come from God. It doesn't come naturally. It starts on the playground, right? I bet if I asked everybody here to think of the first time you can remember somebody being mean to you, maybe 80% of them would be on a playground. That's my guess. I don't know that for sure. It's just mine personally. I was always a big kid. I was almost 11 pounds when I was born. My father says I walked home from the hospital. and I was just a big kid, you know. I was full grown by the time I was 11 years old. But, you know, reverse time to about first grade, I remember the trauma of the teeter-totters. And what I mean by that is there was me, and then there was usually, it took two kids on the other side to play a game of teeter-totter, and it was traumatic, especially because of this one kid who made a big deal about it and was really unkind about me being bigger than average. So those unkindnesses can be redeemed when we extend kindness to other people. We don't want to make other people feel that way. And when we look to the Lord to heal those wounds. I've given kind of a silly example of the teeter-totter, but I know there are much deeper wounds represented in this room from the unkindness that has been shown to you by people who at different moments have chosen not to obey God, not to reflect the character of Christ, but to go with that natural inclination to keep to oneself and to be selfish. So I pray for the healing of hearts today, and I believe part of that healing can be in receiving God's kindness and extending it to others, that action of giving kindness to others can be part of the healing process. I'll leave you with one more scripture. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. It's not because of anything that we do that makes us kind. It's because we are God's children and we are reflecting His character. That's what makes it possible.